Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again here as we are finally entering into a new year. Happy New Year to you all as we are starting the new liturgical year. Cycle A back into the Matthew Gospel readings for throughout this coming liturgical year. And we are entering into the holy season of Advent. Certainly one of my, if not my favorites, liturgical season of the year, and we're going to be talking a lot about Advent for the next, at least the new next couple, 3 weeks and everything. And one of my continued encouragements as you are entering into the season of Advent is to keep Advent in some way, shape, or form. Give up the pre-Christmas celebration thing. Just hold off for a little bit, all right? So just keep yourself in the Advent spirit of looking ahead and that sort of thing. Now, I'm not saying, although I have been accused of being somewhat of an Advent Scrooge, I'm not saying that you need to just completely do nothing that's Christmas-related throughout this season. But what I am saying is that, you know, tone it down. Make sure the celebration of Christmas is a celebration that is not preempted by that you're just sick of Christmas songs by Christmas, that you're ready to get rid of the tree on December 26th, something like that. But spend this time in prayerful preparation for the celebration of the Nativity of our Lord. And as we're headed into this first weekend, this first Sunday of Advent, really in these early Sundays of Advent, we really focus a lot on the second coming of Jesus, on Jesus coming in to institute the kingdom, and what a tremendous gift and promise that is. And we are encouraged by this Sunday's readings to be ready, to be ready. That's what a lot of the readings are talking about, is specifically being ready for the coming of Jesus into our lives. In fact, the gospel reading even goes so far as to compare Jesus with a thief. It says, if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So how do we be ready? Well, we be ready by actually focusing in right now on this so-called third coming of Jesus. Have you heard of the third coming of Jesus? St. Bernard of Clairvaux actually does a little number on this, the coming of Jesus that is a hidden interior coming. And although our scripture lessons certainly focus on right living, that right living must be done through in and through the work of Jesus, the work of His Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to welcome Jesus into our lives, welcome Him as the Lord of our lives. As He Himself has said, if you love Me, you will obey My commands. That's where right living comes from. It doesn't come from kind of, you know, shoulder to the grindstone, that sort of thing. It's not through our own efforts, but it's cooperating with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's loving Jesus and loving Him not as a superlative of like, but loving Him willfully, choosing what is good for Him based on what His commandments are. And it just turns out, folks, that what is good for Him, what He has commanded us to do, is ultimately the best for us, that we are fulfilled as human beings when we welcome Him as Lord of our lives. And guess what? When you make a friend of the so-called thief who's coming, right, the thief doesn't break into the house, right? The thief is rather welcomed as an honored guest in the house. And so the Advent challenge before us in this first weekend, this first Sunday of Advent, is to make a friend of Jesus. And what a friend indeed we have in Jesus, all of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to Him in prayer. And that's where making a friend of Jesus actually begins, is in our life of prayer. So one of the things I might suggest as we head into Advent is to make sure and make time for some daily prayer throughout this. And be honest before the Lord. I think, You know, the only way of really doing prayer wrong is not being honest before the Lord. Now, that may seem pretty obvious to a lot of folks, but consider this. What about the checklist style prayer? Now, you might consider yourself a deep person of prayer, and indeed you may be. I pass no judgment on that. But because you fill in the blank, because you pray the Liturgy of the Hours every day, or because you pray a rosary every day, or you do the rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day, because you say all these rote prayers every day. But my question is, has it just fallen into a habit of routine? Or are you actually engaging with the Lord during these times? And I know, because I try to do a lot of these things myself, I know the temptation. I know if we're not attentive, if we're just rattling off words, how easy it becomes to just become, well, not necessarily complacent, but not engaging fully with the person of Jesus as we pray. So start by being honest with the Lord. Do a quick check-in. Where are you? Spiritually, emotionally, physically, and then let God in on that. Tell God, yep, this is where I am. Even if it's at the point of, you know what, I don't feel like praying today, Lord, but I'm going to engage you in conversation anyway. And then take a little bit of time just to hear back from the Lord. I bet if you do that each and every day this Advent, this will be the best Christmas yet. That it will be the celebration of the coming of the Nativity because you have made friends with the thief, because you have welcomed him in this hidden third sense of his coming into your life. So that's my little Advent encouragement for you as we are entering into this wonderful, wonderful season. Got a great show in store for us today. Starting off, we'll have Deacon John Van Mostek and Rodney Walker, who are going to be talking about the upcoming diaconal ordination on December 7th at the Cathedral. They're going to share with us a little bit about what it's like being in anticipation of this great event, this life-changing event for those who will be ordained, like Rodney. Then we'll have Betty Berge on to talk. She's the president of the ACCW, and she'll talk about this upcoming Advent retreat for women. And then finally, Father John Ubel from the Cathedral of St. Paul, rector of the Cathedral, is going to share with us a little bit about the season of Advent and what its history is and then what it's all about. So glad you could join us here on the Rediscover Hour this week. And as we begin, let's pause, as we always do, and offer the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joining me now in studio, Deacon John Van Mostek is the Associate Director for the Institute of Diaconal Formation, Institute for Diaconal Formation here at the St. Paul Seminaries. He was a St. Paul police officer for 33 years. He's married, has 6 kids and 4 grandchildren. And joining him is Rodney Walker, who is a self-employed IT consultant. He and his wife Annette have been married for 37 years. They have 2 sons, Alex, who he and his wife Angie became the parents of their first grandchild in March of this past year, and he is Thomas James. And Andrew is their second son. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hi, Patrick.
Good to be with you.
It's very good to be with you. All right. So we're talking about diaconal formation here. Let's start out just with the basics here. What is a deacon? What is a permanent deacon? Deacon John, why don't you take that one?
Well, it's a man that's who's called to holy orders, to the vocation of diaconate, in persona of Christi, of Christ the servant. He's the servant of the word, the altar, as we say, and of charity. And all of that encompasses that calling, that ministry, at who he is, as he is conformed to Christ and that particular vocation.
So, okay.
Yeah,
that's pretty straightforward. Now, Rodney, you've been in formation these past, 5 years now?
5 plus a little bit, because the Catechetical Institute is a prerequisite, which is an awesome prerequisite.
Yeah.
And for me, it's about 6 years.
Wow.
And yeah.
Okay, so break down a little bit what Deacon John was just sharing with us in terms of what does it mean to be in persona Christi in the word, at the altar, and in charity?
Well, I think, a lot of us come to the call, if you will, maybe not fully understanding what that all means. And certainly through our formation, both through the program and through God's grace, it's really revealed to us really what that means to be a deacon. And, you know, the service is everything in that. And I think we all come to be at peace with that at some point in time, and then God pours his grace on us, and we keep moving forward as we go through the program. And as Deacon Joe Mahalik and Deacon John would say, trust the process, and the process is good. The process is very grace-filled. And so then by the time we come to this soon-to-be ordination, we're all in that place of peace and grace, and fully confident that we are called to be God's servants, Jesus Christ's servants.
Yeah, wonderful. Rodney, another question for you is, when did you first get an inkling that you might be called to the diaconate?
You know, my inkling, I've got a long inkling.
That's okay.
Yeah. It actually, it's I'll shorten this up as much as I can, but it kind of came in three waves. When Annette and I were first married, we were at St. Michael's in Prior Lake, and we were asked to coordinate the Renew program back in those days. And as I was working through that, the pastor told me one day, just in a meeting with him and I, he said, you know what, Rodney, someday you'll make a good deacon, but not yet. And I was, yeah, I was 25, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll file that. I don't know what that really even means, you know. And then our lives changed. We moved to Bloomington, and we're parishioners at St. Richard's in Richfield, and working with Father Greg Estee on some neighborhood sort of missionary stuff in the neighborhood, I guess you would say. And he mentioned the same exact thing to me. He said, and this was like, you know, probably 10 years later.
Okay.
And he said, you know what, Rodney, you'll make a good deacon someday, but not yet. And I was like, wow, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
And life goes on, and we had little kids at home, and I was like, well, I'm not sure what that means, but I'll stick with it. And anyway, prayed about it over the years. And then we moved to Hastings, and I got involved with the building project there, working with Father Jim Perkle. And about 10 years into that, he said, you know what, Rodney, you'll make a good deacon someday, but not yet. And I was like, okay, time out.
Yeah.
Father Jim, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, okay.
And so we did, and it wasn't time yet. That was about 10 years ago. And, you know, just took it to prayer, and slowly but surely God sort of kept confirming it through different things that were happening in my life. Talked about it with my wife a lot over the years, actually. And then, actually, Father Jim was being reassigned as 12 years were up, and I said, you know what, let's talk through this a little more in detail. And we talked about the process then as how would I get started, and that's how that started. And so,
what's entering into my head as you're talking about that is that maybe the first time it was mentioned, it was filed away. It's a file cabinet, right?
Yeah.
It's filed away near the back of the drawer. But yeah, each successive time, it kind of gets closer to the front, right?
It does.
And it needs to be attended to.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, Deacon John, the process of discernment for these men actually continues all the way through their formation process as well, does it not?
That's correct. We continue to try to make sure that I think some guys can get hung up in, you know, I have a goal to reach, and that's where I have, and I'm a failure or something like that, that if I don't reach that goal, I don't accomplish that. I think as men, perhaps sometimes we're just, you know, focused on being successful.
Sure.
And in reality, it's more about what is the Lord calling you to do? Are you being called to a vocation? You know, working with us, they'll all receive spiritual directors. They'll be on retreat several times, but it's this, and they'll get feedback from their classmates, their teachers. But it's all focused upon is this what the Lord is calling you to do? And sometimes it takes us the process to get through that process to really kind of hear the Lord probably more clearly. You know, is this really where you're calling me?
Right, right. I love the thought of that being the goal, that you are doing the Lord's will.
It's
not about achieving something or succeeding in something.
Right.
It's about being faithful to the Lord's call.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Now, the Rodney mentioned this, but the wives are an integral part of this this discernment, right, of saying yes and then of the formation as well. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's a great question. I mean, ultimately, the wives will have to agree that their husbands be ordained. And if they don't, it won't happen.
Right.
So we don't want to focus entirely on that, but what I think the church is in its wisdom, it is saying that the wife is an integral part of the vocation of deacon.
Yeah.
And so in particular in the first year, the aspirancy year, they are required to attend all the classes. Mm. The first year is really geared towards human formation, you know, being aware of relationships, your marriage, how you interact with people. These kinds of things are a big part of it. We do try to pay particular attention to the wives. Where are they at? We have a group that works with them in wives formation. How are they doing? We bring in wives of deacons to talk to these men and to the wives, mm-hmm. to both of them, to tell them, this is what it's like for me. This is what I felt that I was enriched with. This is what I felt were the sacrifices that I had to make. Mm-hmm. And this is where I gain my support and how I can help my husband to move forward, but yet how I can be a part of his ministry as well.
Yeah. Rodney, what was it like for you and Annette going through that whole process? Were there times of where it was a bit tough, where you thought, wow, this is quite an undertaking, or was it mostly smooth sailing, or some of each? Or
well, I started out in kind of a tough spot. I had been in a bad motorcycle accident, so my aspirancy year, the first semester, was tough, and so tough that I couldn't drive. And so thanks be to God for Annette, you know, being my chauffeur, my nurse, my everything, and she got me there. And so from that perspective, she was very engaged with what I had going on there. But, you know, as time goes on, each wife kind of sort of, they discern what they will do as a deacon's wife going forward. And I think a lot of them are still working through that, you know, as we're assigned to a parish, and then other ministries, you know, where they might fit in. So, you know, that formation for them is critical, so they can also understand the servant role of Christ, the servant deacon, if you will, and what that means. Versus, mm-hmm. hey, we're just doing a good thing here. No, it's much more than that. So,
yeah, right. Now I know there's a lot of emphasis placed in the whole formation process that it's not so much about balance, but it's about integration, and that you're not balancing home life and work life and diaconal life, but you're integrating those things, because when you're ordained a deacon, you're a deacon 100% of the time, just
right.
like you're a husband 100% of the time.
Right.
So what does that look like for you, Rodney, as you're on the brink here, as you're a week away from ordination?
Well, you know, through formation, certainly things changed in our lives as far as what was important and what no longer was. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to boat on the Mississippi River. Well, the boat's long gone, you know. and
hopefully not at the bottom of the Mississippi.
No, it's you know, we just made a decision that there just probably wasn't time, and that wasn't that important anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we all make sacrifices a little bit, and then it just becomes a natural, through God's grace, that just sort of integrates into your life in a way that you go, I never thought that I would be okay with, you know, not hanging out on the boat on the weekends, you know, but it's like, now it's like, man, it's totally fine. And because God's calling is saying, I've got other things for you to do. And with that comes this just great peace and anticipation, you know, certainly this week, as things get closer, you know, it's, I will say this, that any anxiety I had is faded, pretty much gone. You know, there's a lot of logistical things that happen on ordination weekend, but I'm confident that with God's grace and the help of all the other people that'll be doing things, it will all be fine, and it's just this great moment that I think myself and my brother candidates, we just want to live in the moment and not get worried about the logistics, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah. And I should take this moment to say that this diaconal ordination is happening Saturday, December 7th at 10 a.m. at the cathedral. Probably want to arrive a little early because
yeah.
parking will be tight, but arrive a little early and celebrate with these men. How many men are we having ordained on Saturday?
10.
10 men
total.
Are ordained
yeah.
to the permanent yeah. diaconate, again, Saturday, December 7th, 10 a.m. at the cathedral. It'll be a grand time of celebration, I'm sure. So, Deacon John, what questions should a man be asking if he's starting to think, maybe I am called to the diaconate? What kind of things should he be seeking the Lord for and maybe talking with other people about?
Well, that's another awesome question. I think that was one that I struggled with too. Lord, what are you calling me to do? I mean, to be aware of that constantly. I think there's, and I don't know if Rod would agree with me, but I've heard this in several interviews. It's as if there's something that's nagging at me that just won't go away, and then to discern what is that, and what does that look like. Is that the Lord's will for me to go forward? I don't know if you'd agree with that.
But. I would agree with that. I think in what happens throughout formation is the way you sort of unpack that nagging is by developing your prayer life. And then it's no longer this little nagging, it's this desire, and it's this feeling that this is right and this is what God is calling me towards. And prayer life is everything in formation and in life. Everybody struggles with, you know, more prayer time, deeper prayer time and all of that. But that, you know, that's also a big part of our formation, and thanks be to God that it is, because that's really how we listen to then what is God calling us to do versus what do we think we should be doing? Because really what I think I should be doing isn't all that important. It's what is God calling me to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think, you know, certainly, like I said earlier, it's the servant of the word, the servant of the liturgy, the altar, and the servant of charity. And I think sometimes people can see things as, well, I just want to do more good things. And that's awesome. But that's not necessarily, does that mean that you have a vocation to this?
Right.
And that's then where you, to get back to your question, where you want to go deeper. Is this really what you're calling me to? Mm-hmm. Holy orders, mm-hmm. and to the permanent diaconate.
Yeah,
that's a process.
That's a process. It is a process.
Yes, trust the process.
Trust the
right?
process. Yeah.
All right. So we're nearly up on our time here, but I think we should mention if wives are looking to talk with somebody, want to find out what's the next step, that sort of thing. What is the St. Paul Seminaries and the Institute for Diaconate Formation offer? Or what's the next step they should take in contacting you?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question, too. We are always open to people that are discerning. We would ask that you would check out a Deacon Discernment Day. It's a one-day event. We do have two coming up in 2020, September 26th and November 7th. From 8 a.m. to 3:30, and we'll give you a lot of information to take with you to help you decide whether you want to continue with exploring or listening to God. Is this what He's calling me to do? We would ask that if you are serious, that you enroll into the Catechetical Institute if you haven't already done that. We would want you to have at least 1 year completed before you would enter into formation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, some basic prerequisites. But then the process, if this is where you really feel you want to see if the Lord's calling you, would then take off from there. And it can be quite extensive. But not to worry. We're gonna take you through that. But just call the IDF. The Institute of Diaconate Formation, and we'll be very happy to help.
Fantastic. Well, Deacon John Pomostek and Rodney Walker, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you for having us.
Yep.
All right, we're going to go into our first break. When we come back, we've got Betty Berge with us, who's ACCW president. She's going to be talking with us about an upcoming Advent retreat for women. Stay with us. Rediscover.
As you age, estate planning becomes more important. Even if you're in your golden years, or almost there, it's not too late to get a quick snapshot of your estate from your local Catholic United financial rep. First off, do you have a written plan? On paper? Most don't. Are you organized as you should be? Many would say no. In fact, in a recent survey, almost half the respondents said their estate plan was out of date, or worse yet, non-existent. Do you fall into that category? Not good if you're 50 or older. Don't make the mistake of not having a plan. Call your local Catholic United rep. They'll be happy to help you get control with a quick snapshot of where you're at and show you what to consider and what to avoid when planning. The snapshot is quick and easy. Get back on track by contacting Kendra Turner, 763-442-8711, or visit us on the web at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
I wanna wake up. I wanna open my eyes. Take the shades up. Pull the sun from the sky. Step out in faith and step into something new.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. ACCW stands for the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women, and we are privileged to be joined by their president, Betty Berge, who is from Faribault and goes to Divine Mercy Church down there. She's been married for 51 years to her husband, Gene. They have three married daughters, Angie, Sarah, and Laura, and six grandchildren. Betty, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick, for inviting me.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. And we're talking about the ACCW Advent Retreat, but I just thought a little bit of background would be good. So what is the ACCW and what is its mission?
Well, we're an organization that, as you said, work through the ACCW. We're located in St. Paul at the Catholic Center with all the other ministry offices, which is a pleasure because if we need to connect with one of them, we're right there. Mm-hmm. Makes it really convenient. We actually work through the National Council of Catholic Women, who are going to celebrate their 100th anniversary in 2020.
Wow.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
And actually in 2021, we are having the national convention right here in Minneapolis.
Really?
Which is really special.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to that. Within, we have a board of directors that consists of six commission chairs, several vice chairs, seven deaneries. And through the deaneries, we work through the parishes, which in our archdiocese, we have over 160 parishes. So a lot of people, a lot of women to connect to.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, so if women
aren't... That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, if women are involved in the ACCW, are there regular meetings, or is it mostly consist of like special events like this Advent retreat, or do they get together on a regular basis?
Actually, at the parish level, they have... they have groups, and they meet. It's different for each parish.
Okay.
In your smaller parishes, they might meet every few months, but in a lot of parishes, you meet every month. I know at Divine Mercy, we're one of the larger parishes,
mm-hmm.
but if we didn't meet every month, there'd be an awful lot on our agenda because it just seems like there's something going on all the time that we're involved with.
Right. And there's something going on this Advent with this Advent retreat for women. Why don't you first off start off by giving us just the details of the retreat itself, like when's it going to be, where's it going to be, and who is speaking?
We have had this Advent retreat for several years now, and it's been a really good event. This year, it's at St. Patrick's Church in Edina.
Ooh, I like the name.
Yeah, it's a lovely church. And
it is, yeah.
I found it easy to get to. I took 35W to 62 West, and then I followed my GPS, of course,
right.
But it was still quite simple. Actually, it's on St. Patrick's Lane, which is easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to St. Patrick's Lane and the connecting street would be Gleason, that's where the best parking lot to get into the door that goes directly into where the event will be held. It starts at 8:30 in the morning. And it finishes with a 12 noon mass.
Mm-hmm.
There will be lots of vendors to do Christmas shopping. We have Father James McConville will be the speaker.
Oh, yeah.
He's a teacher, a pastor, and a musician. So it sounds like he could tell us a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I like Father McConville. He's a dynamic guy. And the theme for this Advent morning reflection is Be Ready, Have Faith. So what are you envisioning in terms of, what does that mean? Yeah, to be ready and to have faith.
Well, I think that with Advent approaching,
mm-hmm.
you just want to lift up people's feelings and thoughts about their faith. It's kind of like renewing yourself and hopefully hearing a good speaker that's, especially that if he's dynamic, like you say, it gets you in the mood for Advent, let's
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's as we were saying at the top of the show, it's a time of preparation, of being ready and that sort of thing. So it seems to connect well. Now, you said you've been doing this retreat for a number of years. And what's your typical attendance like? How many women show up for
this? It has been very good. It has been around 200 women.
Wow.
It's one of the better attended events that we hold.
Mm-hmm.
This year we're seeing a little lower attendance, but I believe that is because many of the deaneries and parishes are holding their own Advent retreats of some type.
Yeah.
And there are always a lot of conflicts, especially in the Twin City area. You could go to something every other day if you wished.
Well, we were just talking about the diacon ordination, which is happening at the same time as your Advent retreat, but I would say that either are good choices for people to attend. So again, it's December 7th at St. Patrick's in Edina, and it starts at 8:30 a.m. with a prayer and continental breakfast. Speaker is Father James McConville, and it will conclude with noon mass. So it's just a morning set aside.
It's a morning. It's a full morning, but it's a wonderful morning. It's educational. It's something that I think everyone would enjoy attending, and especially just bonding with other women mm-hmm. of faith. And this is only 1 week out, so it would be good if you could call in your reservations or go online to our website, and the cost is only $25, just a drop in the bucket.
Right. And you can find actually more information on the Archdiocesan website as well, archspm.org/ACCW2019Advent. So just plug in archspm.org and then search for ACCW. I'm sure it'll come up there. And is there a cost involved? Did we talk about this? Is there a cost involved?
I just said $25 would
be that's right.
The cost.
Well, $25 for a morning that includes breakfast and a dynamic speaker and mass. I mean, that's not so bad. And it's just a morning. I like it. What kind of women should be attending this? I mean, is this particularly for any age group of women or women who are at various stages of faith? I mean, is it open to anyone? You think everybody could get something out of it?
I think anyone at any age would get something out of it. And we welcome everyone at every age.
All right. What's your favorite part about Advent, if I may ask just a more of a personal question?
I know it sounds silly, but this retreat is really one of my favorite parts. It's one of my favorite events of the year.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And then will there be any time set aside specifically for prayer, or are there any vendors present at the retreat?
Yes, there'll be several vendors, and we also have someone that does promotions from our ACCW group, and they sell things that you might like pins or scarves or aprons or such things with our logo on them.
Mm.
And then we also have where everybody brings in things that are kind of like extra decorations or Christmas items. They may be slightly used, but they're just put on a big table, and it's a free will donation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really get something for a bargain there,
mm-hmm,
especially
mm-hmm.
if you like garage sailing.
Yeah. Well, not a bad idea. A little garage sale shopping. Man, now I'm wanting to come to this thing, and I don't think I qualify, right? So I'm just wondering if you have any insight to share, especially as you've been the president of the ACCW here, and have a unique perspective on women's lives and that sort of thing. Are there any specific things that women wrestle with around this time of the year? I mean, obviously it's a time of preparation, and there's a lot of things to prepare for. So any specific stresses or things that we can be praying for the women in our lives, our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, our grandmothers?
Well, of course, prayer is good for everything. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when I write in newsletters, which I do, when we speak, I think we just have to continually remind women of the true meaning of Christmas and realize that all these material things, the shopping, the baking, card writing, whatever, they'll just take care of themselves.
Mm.
It'll work out. And even if you have a year where you miss writing cards or don't bake cookies, somehow something happens. A neighbor brings you a plate.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? There are a lot of miracles that occur we don't know about.
That's right. Yeah, the Lord does provide, isn't it? I mean, that's such a profound truth that if we but trust in it, we will see it all over the place. One of my friends used to put it this way, when some sort of mini crisis hits, will this in any way threaten the return of Jesus? No. will this in any way threaten anybody's salvation? No. Then let's just chill out a little bit. You know, it'll take care of itself. Think a little bit more generally, too, about the whole idea of going on retreat. Now, this is only, again, this morning of reflection is only a half day, but it's a retreat-type setting. What do retreats offer for women in terms of their spiritual lives?
Well, I think a lot of times when you go on retreat, you can make it what you want, but you should just kind of try to let go of everything. Try to let go of your stresses and everyday things that are happening around you and just relax, enjoy the day, take in and benefit from it.
All right. Well, that's the core essentials of what retreat is all about, is kind of refocusing on our priorities. And it sounds like that's exactly what's going to happen. Let's hit the specifics one more time. So it's an Advent retreat for women. It's sponsored by the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. Hoping for a great turnout there at St. Patrick's in Edina on the morning of December 7th. Day begins at what time again, Betty?
8:30 a.m.
Okay.
Closes with a noon mass.
And the speaker is Father James McConville, who, again, I think you'll get a lot out of hearing from him. Any words of advice if any women are out there listening to this interview and thinking, I don't know if I can give up a whole Saturday morning in this busy month of December just for a retreat? What would you say to them, Betty?
It's early. You've got lots of time to take care of the other things. Just go for it.
Okay.
We'd love to see you.
I mean, that's pretty good. Yep, just for a mere $25. But you do need to register, is that right?
Yes, you should pre-register by going on the Archdiocesan website or calling Chris at 651-291-4545.
All right, there it is. Well, Betty, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God's blessings on the retreat and all you do with the ACCW.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to take our next break. And when we come back, Father Ubel is with us from the cathedral to talk to us about the history of Advent and why it's such an important liturgical season. Stay with us. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life, it might be vocations, it might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Crystal Crocker, who's filling in for Susanna Perrin, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio is a former supervisor, a former pastor, and if I may say so, a friend of mine, Father John Ubel is the rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul, and he's here to tell us about, if I'm right about this, Father, I think I've heard you say it is your favorite liturgical season.
You've got a great memory, Patrick. It certainly is. Absolutely my favorite season, and some years it's very short. I never it when Christmas is on a Monday because we get cheated.
Yeah, that's right. Well, okay, so we had that, last year, a couple years ago, I think now, right, yeah, so we're doing better this year.
We're doing better this year, exactly. My favorite is when it's on a Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, extend it out. All right, so we'll get into why it's your favorite season, but let's start with a little history of Advent. I confess, I don't really know much about why the church began to observe Advent.
Well, you know, you've heard the story of St. Martin of Tours. He's a great, great saint from France, and a bishop after him by the name of Perpetuous. That's a great name.
Yeah, that is a good name.
Child Perpetuous. Perpetuous of Tours was a bishop. He died, I think, around 490 AD, in that range. And he started asking people to fast three times a week from the Feast of St. Martin all the way to Christmas.
Oh, sure.
So that's one of our first historical references to some kind of penitential preparation for Advent. Now, of course, the liturgists love getting into arguments about the nature of Advent,
right,
and just how strictly penitential it is. And they make a lot of good cases. But then after him, after Perpetuus, then we can look to someone like St. Gregory the Great. And for the first time now, we see four Sundays dedicated to Advent.
Mm.
And so the form in which we understand Advent now, four Sundays, really takes its history from that. So we're still talking very early in the church.
Yeah, yeah. So it has a long-standing tradition. And all right, so I have to ask now, since you mentioned about the liturgists who argue about how penitential the season truly is, what's your stance on it, on how penitential should Advent be?
So we have to look at a few clues. Number one, we do not pray the Gloria during Advent.
Sure.
Now, I saw a particular commentary on that, and it mentions that that's more because we are fasting, if you will, from the Song of the Angels, mm-hmm, and then we hear it for the first time,
oh, man,
you know,
like
at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's actually true. We also wear violet vestments. Now, the general instruction makes it very clear that different hues can be used.
Is that right?
And so you could use a darker hue of violet, but still violet, not blue.
Okay.
And that became one of the big issues in the 1980s when I was in the seminary, so I'm dating myself now. Will you wear blue vestments? My answer was no, because they're not prescribed. But you can use a darker color to distinguish it,
yeah,
right? So the general instruction does speak about a twofold character. It's a time of preparation for Christmas, to be sure, in which the first coming of our Lord is celebrated. But it's also a time to have our hearts and minds looking towards the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the church speaks about Advent being a period of devout and joyful expectation.
Mm.
And that's where I think the liturgists would say it's not, strictly speaking, a penitential season. But we also, musically, are asked to hold back from the fullness,
okay,
in terms of our musical expression. So even at my parish at the cathedral, we are blessed with not one, but two organs.
Mm-hmm.
Our choir moves down into the sanctuary. We do not use the great organ, as we call it, the gallery organ, but only the one that's necessary to support the music in the sanctuary, a smaller organ. And so even musically, the church's liturgy asks us to pull back a bit. So I think there's a penitential aspect to it. That's where I come down to. It's a long answer to your question.
No, that's fine. So just thinking personally, what would you prescribe people to, how can they celebrate or observe this holy season of Advent well? What, I mean, there are certain traditions like the Advent wreath, certainly, the Joshua tree. I mean, a lot of these things kind of come into play when it comes to Advent.
Don't forget the Advent calendar, where,
yeah,
you open up every day and you get a different piece of chocolate. They sell those now. Go to your religious goods store.
That's right.
I remember that. I also have great memories, Patrick, of December 6th, the Feast of St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
And my mother would give each of us a new decoration for the Christmas tree, a new ornament.
Oh.
And so every year, and I look back now and I see, well, she was actually sending a very subtle message. One year, we were given yarn figurines. Mine was a choir boy.
Hmm.
One year, we were given carvings, wood carvings. Mine was a monk. She's actually sending a subtle message here about vocations. But I would say Advent calendars, Advent wreaths. There should be a wreath on the dining room table.
Hmm.
And then you can light it and say a prayer before meals. They're beautiful ways to prepare for the season.
That's,
I would definitely say that. I also would say, and this is probably in the last 10 years for me, I've rediscovered a bit the importance of fasting.
Mm.
And there was a long tradition of not eating meat the day before Christmas. I think that's a beautiful tradition.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever heard of that. Not eating meat the day before Christmas.
Often people had fish stew and things of that nature on Christmas Eve. So you go into a fast right before Christmas.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very appropriate to do. But absolutely, I would say that. And then, of course, our favorite, you know where I'm going with this, the O Antiphons.
Yes, the O Antiphons. I know. It is definitely one of my favorite parts of Advent, and it's right there where you're really getting in the depth of the season. You're on the brink of Christmas, but you're still starting to unpack them. So why don't you give us a little explanation and history of the O Antiphons as well.
So the entire liturgical year of the church tries to guide us along a path. And you'll notice in your daily Mass guides, on December 17th, they no longer speak of Thursday of the third week of Advent. They simply say December 17th, obviously because Christmas is a movable feast. It falls on different days of the week. So once the 17th of Advent kicks in, we recite the O Antiphons. They're recited at evening prayer. They also make an appearance as the Alleluia verse before the Gospel, which is another little distinction between Advent and Lent. We still have the Alleluia, but we don't have the Gloria.
Right.
And so each stanza highlights a different title for our Messiah. O Wisdom, O Lord, O Root of Jesse, O Key of David, O Rising Sun, O King of the Nations, and then finally, O Emmanuel. And so they're beautiful titles for the Lord that have rich history to them, each of them. And really the first mention goes back to a philosopher. Mm. So it just shows that philosophy can be very practical too. They're not just eggheads out there. So Boethius is the one who mentions these antiphons for the first time. He suggests their use. And again, just like we can thank the French for coming up with Advent, also these were referenced first of all, in a monastery in France, in the early church as well. Mm. It's the resting place of St. Benedict, actually. So they are recited by the abbot at the time, and then he would present a small gift to each member of the monastic community on each day.
Nice.
And so again, some of these beautiful monastic traditions now come down into the liturgy of the church.
Yeah. What do you think Advent does to combat some of the commercialistic hype, Christmas hype that goes on during this time of year? How is it an antidote to that?
So here's where I have a confession to make to everyone on Relevant Radio. I give myself a grade every year how well I lived Advent, and I have a losing record.
Oh,
right now.
Do you? Okay.
It's very difficult because constantly we are on the move or on the change. For instance, the day after Thanksgiving, here we are, and a lot of people are out shopping. Well, that's not the case for me, certainly. It's a horrific day in some respects.
It is truly Black Friday.
And you'll notice this year people started even before Thanksgiving advertising because we've got the latest possible Thanksgiving, which means the fewest possible shopping days until Christmas. So the world is telling us to move and run and go, and Advent is saying, wait, stop. Hurry up and wait.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a constant battle for many people, myself included. And there are a lot of extra confessions that we will be having at the cathedral. And so it becomes difficult to enter into it. But if we are able to, it's the most beautiful season for preparation to receive the Lord into our heart.
So is this some of the things that you're mentioning, is that why Advent is your favorite season?
It is. I've always loved Christmas. But I just love the rich liturgies, the O Antiphons. This is going to sound silly, but you get to change to a new breviary on Advent.
No, that's not silly to me. Yeah, I like it. Yep.
And move the ribbons and get everything ready.
Yeah.
But the daily readings are so rich. I encourage everyone to have your daily readings out. That's a beautiful way to prepare there. They're so teachable and illustrative of the mysteries that we are celebrating.
Now, we focus a lot on, in the Old Testament readings, on the prophet Isaiah throughout Advent. I mean, there's a lot. Give us a little insight into that. Why so much from Isaiah throughout Advent?
Well, at the risk of saying something that would seem disrespectful to the other prophets, I think clearly Isaiah, more than any, foretells the coming of the Messiah and the Savior. And really, he is the first among equals, I believe. Again, nothing against Jeremiah and Daniel, but I do think Isaiah is the first among equals for that. And so you'll see more passages in the scriptures from Isaiah than anyone, although other ones make their appearances, Micah, all these places in which we can look back from the perspective of faith and see signals mm-hmm. in the Old Testament that point us towards Christ.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned some of the things that the cathedral is doing specifically throughout this Advent season to try to put things together and give people that opportunity to engage with the season well, like these extra confessions that you'll be doing and that sort of thing. Any other things that you're doing at the cathedral to specifically usher in this holy season or to help people observe during this holy season of Advent?
I think one of the big challenges for any priest, especially parishes where you have a school, is they're going to want to do some kind of a Christmas program.
Yeah.
And I certainly understand that. We certainly try to be realistic as well because people anticipate so much. I remember one year, if I can just tell a quick little story,
sure, yeah.
I know we're getting close to the end of time. I worked in one of our wonderful Catholic high schools. This is when I was a young priest. I came down to get my mail. It was probably December 22nd.
Okay.
School had just gotten out the day before. All of the decorations were gone. And I spoke with the maintenance.
No.
Well, the kids don't get back until after New Year's, so we thought we would get a head start. And I'm thinking to myself, you've missed the entire point of everything. So even at the cathedral, we will have a concert, and it'll feature some Advent music and probably a few carols.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible, I think, to completely hold back,
mm-hmm.
but we try to be more restrained, especially in the choice of hymns for Advent. There's some beautiful Advent hymns, and of course, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel is a beautiful one that takes place towards the end of the season, along with the O Antiphons, because it's based upon that. And there are other examples as well.
Yeah.
We will offer some additional confessions, even though every day we are full up with confessions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a day that goes by that we don't have people waiting in line. It's a great problem to have.
Yeah, it is.
And so we'll add more confessions.
Yeah. Well, too, if I can just add a bit from my own experience, is that I think some of my favorite times during the Advent season when I was at the cathedral were either coming into 7:30 a.m. Mass, daily Mass, or staying around to 5:15 p.m. daily Mass, partly because it's dark, and it's dark outside, and generally speaking, I mean, the lighting is a little more subdued than it is, say, on a Sunday morning or something like that, especially right before Mass. And it's just, it just focuses you in, and it speaks the peace of Christ into you as you're, you know, kneeling there in prayer and getting ready for daily Mass. And so I would encourage listeners to consider dropping by the cathedral, or your home parish, certainly, but the cathedral is a beautiful place to do some meditation, some Advent meditation before daily Mass.
And we do put up the creche on the before the third Sunday of Advent,
without
the baby Jesus, obviously.
Sure. Yeah, very nice. Well, Father, we're down to our last minute, and so I'm wondering if, before we let you go here, if you'd be willing to offer an on-air blessing to us and all our listeners.
I'd be happy to do so, and I'd like to use the solemn blessing for the first Sunday of Advent, so
perfect.
Just looking ahead a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
May the Almighty and merciful God, by whose grace you have placed your faith in the first coming of His only begotten Son, and yearn for His coming again, sanctify you by the radiance of Christ's advent, and enrich you with His blessing. Amen.
Amen.
As you run the race of this present life, may He make you firm in faith, joyful in hope, and active in charity.
Amen. Amen.
So that rejoicing now with devotion at the Redeemer's coming in the flesh, you may be endowed with the rich reward of eternal life when He comes again in majesty.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Father Ubel, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour and explaining why Advent is such a wonderful season.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we're into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I have all sorts of Advent-type things for you to consider doing. Stay with us. Rediscover.
As you age, estate planning becomes more important. Even if you're in your golden years, or almost there, it's not too late to get a quick snapshot of your estate from your local Catholic United financial rep. First off, do you have a written plan? On paper? Most don't. Are you organized as you should be? Many would say no. In fact, in a recent survey, almost half the respondents said their estate plan was out of date, or worse yet, non-existent. Do you fall into that category? Not good if you're 50 or older. Don't make the mistake of not having a plan. Call your local Catholic United rep. They'll be happy to help you get control with a quick snapshot of where you're at and show you what to consider and what to avoid when planning. The snapshot is quick and easy. Get back on track by contacting Peter Arm, 651-235-0065, or visit us on the web at catholicunitedfinancial.org. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
I will never forget you. For your name I have carved on the palm of my hand.
So, Paul, where does Advent fall on your scale of liturgical seasons?
Oh, it's right up there with Lent, actually.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and I love Lent.
I do, too.
I think Lent is just a marvelous opportunity to start afresh.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it. Well, Advent, too, being a new liturgical season, and we got lots of stuff that people can do.
Tons of things. Men, are you ready for Bible Boot Camp? Learn the basics of the Bible in one day. Join men of our Archdiocese and Father John Paul Eckert, biblical scholar, as he teaches the structure of the Bible and the story of salvation history. Discover the heroic men of the Bible. Find out how to make Scripture a part of your daily life. Study is at Holy Trinity Catholic Church, South St. Paul, December 7th, 9 a.m. to 3:30. Cost $40. That includes workbook, donuts, hearty lunch, free for sons under age 18. Register online at thecatholicwatchmen.com or contact Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org.
Enter the season of Advent by attending an inspirational Advent mission at Transfiguration Catholic Church in Oakdale, December 6th and 7th. Speakers will include Bishop John LaVar, Father John Paul Erickson, and Professor Deborah Savage as they present meditations upon the figures of Advent, the just man, the wild man, and the woman, St. Joseph, St. John the Baptist, and Our Blessed Mother, respectively. For more information, visit transfigurationmn.org or call the parish office at Transfiguration.
The Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women has a tradition of coming together on a Saturday in Advent for a time of retreat and reflection. This year, the Advent retreat is Saturday, December 7th at St. Patrick's, Edina. The day begins at 8:30 a.m. with prayer, a continental breakfast. Speaker for the day is Father James McConville. The retreat concludes with noon mass. It's a chance to do some Christmas shopping, too, with local vendors available throughout the day. Find out more and register. Visit archspm.org/ACCW2019Advent.
Goodness Radiates is an Advent morning of reflection for mothers of young children on Saturday, December 14th from 8:30 to noon at St. Raphael's Catholic Church in Crystal. The cost is $20 and nursing babies are welcome. Come for breakfast, engaging talks, and mass. Register online at canafamilyinstitute.com/events. Prepare your heart to radiate joy this Advent.
All women are invited to an Advent morning of reflection, December 14th, 8 to noon, Good Shepherd Catholic Church, Golden Valley. Morning begins with Mass, followed by breakfast, prayer, two conferences given by national speaker and author Liz Kelly. RSVP requested to ensure enough food for participants. Free will donation will be collected at the event. Go to archspm.org/events to register.
And a reminder that that permanent diaconate ordination is Saturday, December 7th, 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Come early and find your place to park and then stay for this grand celebratory event as 10 men are ordained to the permanent diaconate. And on the next Rediscover Hour, it's a true variety show. We'll kick things off with our Great Catholic Parish segment as Isaac Huss talks about Urban Catholic, a young adult movement at Nativity Our Lord in St. Paul. Then we'll celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe with local musician John Rosensteel. And finally, Sister Lenore Germscheid will talk about the collection for retired religious. All of that coming up on the next Rediscover Hour. It's been great to be with you, folks. Have a great Advent. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.